are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. And sorrows, where you lead me, I will follow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day.
Here's today's message from Pastor Dr. Daryl Orman.
If I could have your attention, we'd like to observe the ordinance of baptism this morning. And I have with me Josh Grantham. Josh, when did you give your life to Christ?
7 years old.
7 years old. Who led you to Jesus?
My aunt.
Aunt Karen?
Yes, sir.
Okay, amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you will make a commitment to pray for Josh? Would you raise your hands and say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, my brother. Josh, my brother, upon your profession of faith and in obedience to the Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in a spirit-filled life. Amen. Well, as you know, this water has no power to save. I mean, for ages in movies here in America, and they'll say, I went in the water and it washed my sins away. Well, this water can't wash sins away. In fact, if you don't have a bar of soap, it won't even do very good with dirt. But it's a symbol of the rebirth. It's a symbol of Jesus Christ putting us to death in the flesh and making us alive spiritually. And there's two symbols here. One is the commandment from the Lord and the Great Commission, going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And in that, Josh was the candidate, I'm the baptizer, the water is the element. But it also pictures the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says we were all baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. And in that picture, we see that Jesus is the baptizer. John the Baptist said that. I baptize with water, but he who comes after me is mightier than I am, and he baptizes with the Spirit. And then he said with fire also, and that was judgment. But so we see that Jesus is the baptizer. Josh was still the candidate. Happened when he was 7 years old, when his Aunt Karen led him to Christ. And the element was the Holy Spirit. And that's how we get into the body of Christ. Your spirit baptism occurs the day you're saved. When you get saved, truly born again, that's when you're spirit baptized. Praise the Lord. Let's bow for a word of prayer for the service. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. And I want to lift the service up to you, ask you to speak to hearts. We pray you'll take your word, John 3, as you had that discussion years ago with Nicodemus. And we pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And Lord, that you'll just draw us closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's greet each other today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Give each other a hug, fist bump, all the good stuff. Please be seated. A few announcements for you. If you're our guest today, we'd like to invite you to fill out the little connect form and place that in the offering plate. help us get to know you better. And then this afternoon or evening tonight, we have a fundraiser at Blaze Pizza to benefit our Reborn project, and want to encourage you to go by and get a pizza made and all the proceeds. In fact, everybody that comes in, tell them you're from First Baptist, but everybody that comes in, they're going to give us 20% of the sales from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock tonight. So please go by and grab a pizza. And I'll give you a tip on it. I've become an expert at it. Do the make your own, and you can. And there's no charge for any of the elements. It's unlimited. So I go through there and I build a pizza for me and a pizza for Kim, and those suckers are that thick. It takes them about an hour to cook it. And it's quite a meal, but they have some wonderful items. They have feta cheese, goat cheese. You know, you can put everything you can think of on there, and it's exciting. Mine has Italian sausage, and then I have them crack meatballs over it. Kim's has Italian sausage with pepperonis on it, and on it goes. So I want to encourage you to come by and do that, either eat or get it to go, and watch the Heat beat Boston tonight on TV. Maybe, probably not. Maybe, we hope. But a few other announcements. We had a great work day yesterday. 30 showed up and got a lot done around here. Let's give them a hand. Praise the Lord. And I want to call your attention to the screen. Rachel Brooks, one of our members, is now a shut-in at Solaris. She's in their assisted living. And they voted her the resident of the month for the month of June. There she is. That it is up there. Now they put April on there. That was a misprint, but it is June, and we're in love and excited with Rachel and her witness there for Christ, and she's very popular there. Tomorrow morning we have our first Monday men's prayer breakfast, Berry Fresh, at 8 o'clock. Want to invite any of you men that can come. We've worked a special deal with them. It's $10 for breakfast and coffee and everything. And so I want to encourage you to come and pray with us and fellowship. We've been having wonderful turnouts. 8 o'clock, Berry Fresh on US 1. And then Father's Day weekend's in a couple of weeks. On Saturday, we're going to have a men's barbecue fishing clinic with Mark Nichols, the founder and owner of DOA Lure Company. He's going to come, and he's given us out some free samples of DOA lures and going to instruct us in how to more effectively fish. And then we'll have lunch together, and that starts at 11. Want to encourage you to come a little early. And bring some friends with you. Bring some guy friends with you. If you got some friends that fish, say it's no charge. You know, we will take up an offering, but no charge to come and take part in this. And we're going to have a great, great time together. And so that's the 11th in 2 weeks. And then also, let's see what else. That pretty much gets it for me right now. So praise the Lord. Good to see y'all. God bless.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day, Lord. And we want to just tell you that we love you and praise you, Father. We want to ask you please to bless these tithes and offerings and use them for your glory. I want to ask you all these in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, the Lord's laid on my heart today to share a message with you that's fundamental, it's elementary, and basically, it's one of my favorite passages in Scripture in the New Testament. When I was an athlete student at Northwest Mississippi Junior College, my first year of being a Christian, I had my devotions in the athletic dorm. I started a Bible study with the athletes. I began to win a bunch of my teammates and athletes from other teams in our sports field to Christ. And as I was doing it in my devotions as a baby Christian, I read John chapter 3. And when I read it, I said, oh my, this is actually Jesus witnessing. This is Jesus actually in detail telling someone how to get saved. And so I began to read this passage over and over and over again to athletes in the athletic dorm. And it came to a point that I virtually memorized John chapter 3. And so when I would come up to an athlete that I hadn't talked to yet or hadn't met yet, or a cheerleader or a student at school, and some of the other athletes were there,
As soon as I started talking to them, they would tease me sort of, and they'd say, "And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus." And they would take this first verse of the passage and kind of get going with it, you know, with me. And sure enough, I would go through it. There was Les, a defensive end on our football team, great big handsome blonde-haired boy from Olive Branch, Mississippi, who had been All-State in high school. And he was a Christian, but he was a quiet Christian. He wouldn't really witness much. I said, "Les, you've got to share Jesus with people." "Well, Darryl, that's for you. That's for you to do." I said, no, you need to do it. We all need to share Jesus. And so I'm in the hallway, and there was one of the defensive backs, a young black man named Spider, and Spider came up, and Les was talking to him, and Les says, "Now, Spider, you trust Big Les, don't you?" And Spider said, yeah, I trust you. And he said, "Do you think Big Les would tell you the truth?" And he says, yeah, I think you'd tell me the truth. And he says, "Well, you know, I gave my life to Christ," and I'm standing there getting all excited, and I'm thinking, Les is about to witness to Spider, you know, share Jesus with him. And so Spider's looking at him, and Les is standing there, and he says, "Because there's something important you need to hear, and Darryl's going to tell you." And he pointed to me and handed it off, you know. He didn't quite go with it. And so, sure enough, I shared John chapter 3 with Spider, and Spider gave his life to Jesus. And so today I want us to walk through the major first half of this chapter, and it's the idea of it is what Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't say it'd be a good idea. He didn't say, yeah, maybe some of you need it and some of you don't. Maybe, you know, this is just a suggestion I've got. He said, oh, no. You must be born again. Now, on our property we have now on 76, as y'all know, 39,000 vehicles drive by it every day. And this used to be our pumpkin sign. And now it says, what? Read that with me. You must be born again. Quotation from Jesus. So 39,000 vehicles are driving by that every day. And then on the other end of the property is our disaster relief trailer. And on the end of it, it says, Jesus saves. Ask him now. He's listening. And so today I want us to look at you must be born again. If you can't remember another passage in the Bible and you want to share it with your grandchildren, your children, your aunts, your uncles, your neighbors, your parents, whoever, you want to share Jesus with them, just remember John chapter 3 and work through this passage with them. All right? So let's begin by reading through it. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him, to Jesus, by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want to read that one again. Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again, can he? And then Jesus answered to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel, or don't be confused, that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? And then Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel? And he said, The teacher, not a. The number one, the prime teacher, the number one theologian in all of the nation of Israel. Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven. No one has ever gone to heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved, let's say this together, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged, and he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. First of all, we see that we are not born again through our status or our education. It's not intellectual assent. It's not a matter of how smart you are. It's not a matter of how well you know your Bible. In fact, I've had encounters with some of the most brilliant Bible scholars that you can imagine who are heathens, who are liberals, who do not believe in the supernatural, and yet they've made their life quest to know the historicity of the Bible. And unless they're born again, they're not going to heaven. They know the nuances. They can pronounce every Old Testament name right. The Perizzites, the Hittites, the Termites, all of them. They can name them. They know all the geography. They know all the minutiae of the historicity of Scripture. But they're not going to heaven. And here we see Jesus talking that night. Nicodemus came at night. He was kind of slipping in. There was such a pressure against Christ and the followers of Christ. But Nicodemus had a searching heart. Nicodemus had a true heart. Nicodemus had an open heart, and he wanted to know God. And so he came to Jesus, and he recognized his miracles, and he acknowledged them, and he responded to them. You know, no one can do the miracles you do unless God sent him. I believe God sent you. And so here we see him coming, and we see him responding, and we see in verses 1 and 2, that Jesus acknowledges him, and then we see in 9 and 10, Nicodemus answered and said, How can these things be? And Jesus said, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? I believe with all my heart, I've been pastor here 31 years, I believe there's been people that have sat here sometimes weeks, months, years, that are going to die and go to hell. Because they weren't born again. Because they substituted their own righteousness. Because they were stubborn and proud and depended on themselves. And were not willing to yield to the Son of God. Thank God for Nicodemus. I know he's been excited now for 2,000 years that he responded to Christ. That he sought him out. That he didn't rest on his laurels. You know, I'm the prime teacher. Everybody knows me. I'm the main cog at the synagogue. Everybody knows my name. He didn't depend on that. Number two, the only prerequisite to enter heaven is rebirth. It is the only one. I interview people, as y'all know. I constantly share testimonies of witnessing. I do that to be an example to you. Last night, I picked up Carrabba's. We ordered Carrabba's, by the way. It was chicken marsala, and it was really good. Love those mushrooms and gravy. And I did eat the bread now that I'm not on a diet anymore. I'm losing weight eating Snickers, and I love it. But anyway, I went. The young man came to the window, checked out who I was, gave him the payment, went in, processed it, brought the food out. And I said, "Danny, in your personal opinion, what do you understand it take for a person to go to heaven when they die?" "Well, you know, you've got to really be sincere. You got to have faith, and you got to believe there's a God, and you've got to do good by people. You got to be, you know, treat people right." I said, "Those are all good answers. Can I share with you what the Bible says?" "Yes, please do." So I shared through the window with Danny. And at the end, I said, "Does this prayer express the desire of your heart? Is this what you want Jesus to do for you?" And he said, "Yes, I do." Reached through the window. I grabbed his hand. He grabbed mine. And he repeated a sinner's prayer and asked Christ into his heart to be reborn. To be reborn by God's Spirit. You say, "Well, that happens to you, Pastor. The only reason it happens for me a lot is because I do it a lot." If you do it a lot, it'll happen for you a lot. People need to be born again. Everybody needs to be born again. And we don't have the luxury to say, "Well, your beliefs are okay. You're sincere. You're a good person. You're religious. You've got some good thoughts." We do not have the luxury to say that. If Jesus said, "You must be born again," that's all that you and I can say. Can I hear an amen? We don't have the right to cut a deal. Don't do it. And you say, "Well, I don't want to offend them." So what are you going to do? Send them to hell number two? I mean, come on. There's nothing wrong with some good offense. So we need more of it. We need more conviction. Number three, the water birth is our natural physical birth. And the spiritual birth is our rebirth. And look at verses 5 and 6. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, I know commentators all over the world for 2,000 years have said the water is baptism, like we had the baptism earlier with Josh. That's not what it is. That's not the context. That's not what it's saying. In the context, if you look in the very next verse, he starts to clarify it immediately in verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." That is the water birth, the physical birth. There's not a person I'm looking at this morning who didn't come through water. You were in a sack of amniotic water, that water there, the water birth, and what do we say when a woman's about to give birth? What did she just do? Her water broke. And then we come, and we're here, and we get a birth date, and we put it on our driver's license. "When were you born?" I've got to say it every time I go to CVS now. I've got to give my birth date. They asked for that first. I would think the name would be. What if someone was born the same day as me? I might get better drugs. Who knows? But that's our birth date. That's our physical birth. And we see that the whole context is saying that. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. And look in verse 12. If I told you earthly things you don't believe, how you believe if I tell you heavenly things? The earthly things are the physical birth, the first birth. I love the cliche. Through the years, we've quoted it many times. Born once, die twice. Die physically, die eternally. Born twice, die once, only physically. Let's say that together. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. And this is what he's talking about. The born twice, to be born again. We have our natural birth. We have our spiritual birth. I think it's good to know your spiritual birth date if you do. To be honest, I can't quote mine. I didn't write down that date when I prayed to receive Christ in the basketball gym at 18 years old with Adrian Rogers. But, I mean, I could probably go look it up, but I know it happened, and I know he changed my life, and now I know him, and he's living to me, and I'm living to him. And that's an exciting thing. We see next that the rebirth is not physically obvious, but is spiritually manifest. And what he says here, I like the way he said it, the Lord Jesus, the wind blows where it wishes. Now, if anybody knows about wind, it's us here in South Florida. I mean, we're hurricane season started 3 or 4 days ago. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone born of the Spirit. And so he says, just like wind, and we can say, well, they'll tell us it's a northeasterly wind or whatever, but the wind currents sweep around. And you know, we can see, when you say, I'm not sure exactly which direction it's going in, but I see straw and grass and leaves flying around. I see what it's doing. And of course, some that have stayed here during our hurricanes have really seen what it's doing. They've stayed in the fellowship hall, and they're very solid buildings, even though they're a little bit leaky at times. But they've stayed over there, and they said when Francis and Jean came through 3 weeks apart, they were there twice, and they could step into the little opening right there at the back kitchen door. It's protected on both sides from the wind, and they could either stick their head out the door or step there. And they said, When both of those hurricanes came through, they took our bleachers out here on the playground and blew the bleachers all the way across the parking lot against the fence. And then when the other side of the wall of the hurricane came, they blew the bleachers all the way, put them right back where they were. So if you looked, you'd have never known there was a hurricane moved the bleachers because it put them back. They were ladies, you know, Francis and Jean. And so they put the bleachers back both times. But they couldn't see the wind, but they could see what the wind was doing, moving the bleachers back and forth. Now, that's the same way with us. I wish, I've invented something. I've got a patent, a U.S. patent, a fishing device. And I've been thinking about trying to invent, you've heard of the EKG machine. I want to invent the SPRIT machine, the spirit machine, where you could step in it and it would show you the Holy Spirit inside somebody. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Spirit of God? I mean, what a great thing that would be. And then, you know, we could just have the members when they come in step in the machine. Hey, you need to get saved. You don't have the Spirit of God in your life. You that's tearing the church up in some places. You need to get saved. You need God's Spirit. You need to be born again. And we see here Jesus talking about that. And this is one of the joys when we see people truly give their life to Christ. And we see their life change. Jesus said, can bitter and sweet water come out of the same well? When a person gets saved and they talk like a dirty, filthy sailor, or like most of the movies we have now, or most of the TV we see now, or whatever, and then they get saved and they stop cursing and they start blessing, and where it used to be a GD or a this or that, and now it's a God bless you, praise the Lord. you can see the change, the spirit change, the born again change. They lie, now they tell the truth. They were lazy, and now they're diligent and they work real hard. They were morally immoral, and now they're pure and living for Jesus. Then we see also, number five, we speak of the rebirth with authority. And Jesus said this to Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." It is frustrating to share Jesus with someone and them not accept it. I mean, I've had people say to me, "Well, how do you know that God's there? There's a God. How do you know your prayers do anything?" And I said, "Because he answers prayer, and because he speaks to me, and because he moves my life, and he guides me to do things, and I see confirmations of it." Now, here's a praise. As you know, a lot of you may know, we had to take out wind and storm damage for the church to get our $2 million loan to buy the property. Well, by taking out that extra coverage is $36,000 a year in premiums. $36,000. And as you know, we're behind on budget right now, which happens virtually every summer. But I called Florida Baptist Financial Services and talked to their director, and I said, "I'd like to make an appeal to you. We're paying this wind and storm coverage for First Baptist Church of Stewart. This has been sitting here 98 years. 98 years. And we've had dozens of storms. In fact, in the 31 years I've been here, there have been bunches of storms come over this place. Two of them in 3 weeks. Francis and Jean, dead center. We get some damage. Well, our insurance also has a $100,000 deductible. So the first $100,000 worth of damages, we got to pay it anyway. Secondly, we're planning on relocating the church and school, and four of our five suitors that are talking about buying it from us will probably tear it down and build condos here. So if we have a, God forbid, devastating event, we just move temporary stuff over there, go faster, and it saves the buyers money in tearing it down. And Kurt said, "All of those, pastors, are very good arguments. Could you write those up and send them to us?" And I said, "And also, we'll take the $36,000 we were paying in premiums, we'll put it into an escrow account at your facility, you know, at Florida Baptist Financial Services, where it will draw like 4.5%, 5%, which that's pretty good. And we'll put it in there, and so in 3 years, it'll be more than what our deductible would have been. And plus, you'll have that money that you can loan to other churches." He said, "These are wonderful arguments. Write them up." So I wrote them up, send them to him. We're having our business committee meeting this week. We're all in my office. And I get a call that evening from Kurt right in the middle of our business committee meeting. And Kurt said, "Pastor, I called an emergency meeting of the board. I presented your arguments, and they accept you don't have to renew those wind and storm insurance." Can I hear an amen? And he said, "We will send you a liability sheet to say we didn't pursue this, you did, you know, and that we're not liable." I said, "That's perfect, and send some deposit slips." And so we all applauded. He said it again over the speaker to everybody in the middle, dead center of our business committee meeting. So I know God is listening to our prayers. I know God is responding. And it's exciting what God is doing. And we praise him for it. And so here we see this idea that we speak what we do know. Do not back up one inch about our Lord Jesus, eternal life, heaven, hell, sin, righteousness, all of it. Don't back up an inch. Be bold. Speak out. Be loving, but be bold and speak for Christ. And then he says, next also, we have to go to heaven in Christ. Verse 13. He is our space shuttle. We can't get there except inside of him. And he says that in verse 13. And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. No one, Jesus said, nada, zero. Out of billions of people that have lived on planet Earth, there's not a single one who's ascended to heaven who didn't first descend from heaven. And there's only been one that's done that, Jesus. Jesus is the only one. Pre-existed his incarnation, God eternal in the past, and he came. Now, it's interesting on eternal life. We think of eternal life as a duration of time in heaven. Millions, billions, trillions of years in eternity future. But the fact is, in Scripture, it's not exactly defined that way. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Eternal life, to be born again, to be made alive in Jesus Christ, is actually, as it says in baptized into His body, is us entering into Christ, into Him. He is the eternal one. He lived forever in the past. No human being that's ever been conceived on earth has that kind of history. We don't have a history past our conception. We don't exist except in the mind of God, but in reality and time, space, and history, we don't exist apart from our conception. We're conceived, that's the beginning of our time, and then for lost and saved, all human beings, we live for eternity in the future, toward the future, in this direction, from our conception. Conception, and then eternity. Eternity in heaven, eternity in hell, eternity for everybody. But he says eternal life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. And he says here, you can't go to heaven unless you first came from there, and that's only Jesus. You can only go in Jesus. I've had so many people through the years, well, not so many, but some, say, it's so arrogant for you to say that Jesus is the only way. Have any of you ever heard that? I see hands. I smile. I say, oh, dear friend. It's not arrogance because I didn't say it. Jesus did. I didn't say it. That's not my opinion. I mean, if me being a sympathetic sinner, I'd give salvation to everybody. It's not me. It's my Lord. And boy, don't bet against him. Don't bet against him. Jesus said, you must be born again. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We have to go to heaven in Jesus. Number 7, Jesus had to be crucified to provide rebirth. Look in 14 and 15. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. You know the story, at least some of you do, children of Israel being bitten by poisonous snakes. God tells Moses, I want you to make a bronze serpent and place it on a staff, on a stick, and hold it up in front of the children of Israel. And when you hold it up in front of the children of Israel, all of them that trust what I'm telling you and trust in what I'm asking you to do, all of them that look to this snake on the stick in faith will be saved from their snake bites. Poisonous asps biting them. Saved from the venom. A picture of Jesus on the cross becoming sin for us. The serpent, as we know, the beginning of deception, the beginning of sin, the serpent in the garden. And here we see this picture of the crucifixion. Jesus becoming sin for us. And we see this in Scripture. And then number 8, God's love provided eternal life through Christ for the entire world. You say, who does Jesus love? He loves everybody. He's no respecter of persons. I believe in all my heart, any person I approach, I can tell them with 1,000% confidence, Jesus loves you and died for you to pay for your sins. Jesus loves you. Why do I know that? For God so loved the world. Not the terra firma, not the ball of dirt. The inhabitants, the humanity, the living people in His image all over the face of the earth. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The love of God, His love for us. I love also too, 1 John 2:1, and Jesus is the propitiation, the payment for our sins only, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. He loves us. And then finally, number 9, we are born again by believing in Christ. Verse 18, He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I'd like to do a little journey with you right now in your heart and mind. I'd like to ask all of you to do a little rewind in your mind, in your memory, in your heart. And I'd like you to rewind. Do you remember the day you gave your life to Christ? Do you remember the day that the Spirit of God convicted your heart and you invited Him in and He became your Lord and Savior? Do you remember that day? You say, well, I can't put a date on it, but yes, I remember that experience in my life. If you believe, and you believe savingly, you're saved. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and thank you and praise you so much for your transparency with us. Thank you for opening your word to us. Thank you, Lord, for sharing with us exactly what we need to know to see you, to meet you, to go into eternity with you, to be saved, to be heaven bound. Now, I'd like to invite you right now, whether you're here with us or watching or listening. Are you sure? Are you really sure you're born again? And if not, I'd like to invite you right now to receive Jesus into your life. As many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. I'd like to invite you to pray. And just say, dear Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Give me the rebirth. Be real in my life. Place your Spirit in my life. Lord, I love you, and I'm grateful that you died for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what do we do every morning at the end of the service? We do what? We have an invitation. And we want to do that again today. We want to invite you to respond to God. This is an opportunity for you to obey Jesus. It's an opportunity for you to do business with God. Maybe He's speaking to your heart in a number of different ways. Maybe you've been born again today. We want to rejoice with you in that. We want to celebrate that with you. We're excited about that. We want to love on you and praise God for your decision and your response. Maybe He's speaking to your heart about being a part of our fellowship, this family. We'd like to invite you to come. We'll show you how to do that. Maybe you have a prayer request. Maybe there's something the Lord's laid on your heart you want this body, this godly fellowship to pray for. We'd like to do that. So we're going to open the invitation, and I'll stand at the front and wait for you. And if God speaks to your heart, we want to invite you to come and do what He tells you to do. Let's stand together and sing. Please be seated, and I'd like to remind you of a couple of things, and then we have some important information to share with you. I want to remind you again next Sunday, beginning at 5 at, or I'm sorry, this Sunday, today, at Blaze Pizza. They're doing a fundraiser for us, so please grab pizza tonight and either eat it there or bring it home and assist us in that. And tell them you're with us if you go there tonight. And then I want to remind all of our men and our young men, boys, that we're going to be having this fishing clinic luncheon, barbecue luncheon. Now, I do, if any of you have any wild game, especially buffalo, it's very good, buffalo or elk, but if you have any wild game, please call our office this week and let us know, and we'll try to prepare some of that for our barbecue, and or some wonderful fish. I've not had any wahoo in forever, so if you've got a wahoo, wahoo, let's eat it, and bring that in. And it'll start at 11, and we'll be done after lunch, probably 1:30 or 2, having lunch in the seminar together, questions and answers with Mark Nichols, the founder and owner of DOA Lure Company. And so please invite some guests to come with you for that event. The last 31 years, I've had the privilege of serving Jesus with one of my dearest friends, Nick Bennett. And we've been all over the world together. In fact, I may just have a roast for him sometime because I have stories, you know, you wouldn't believe about Nick Bennett and to share with you. But he's been a dearest friend for 31 years. He's been coming in my office and praying with me before services and just been a constant encouragement to me from the very first day I met him. And he's one of the godliest men I've ever known. Unfortunately, his health has really been declining as far as his mobility. And he's fallen a couple times last couple of weeks, several times in the last year or so. And he's just come to a place, and I've been putting it off with him and trying, but he's got something that he wants to share with you. Nick, can you come and stand here? We're going to have a luncheon in his honor in August. We've got several things that are crowding in on us right now with Father's Day and all that. Come over here, Nick, and I'll hold this for you. And Stephanie's with you, your daughter. And you want to sit on it?
I think I'll just sit.
Right. Why don't you sit on it? I'll hold this for you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yes.
Our daughter Stephanie right here.
And Nancy, Stephanie, good to see you.
Thank you, Pastor. Dear Pastor Oman, Kim, and First Baptist Church family, in Ecclesiastes 3:1, the scripture says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." That season has come for me to announce my retirement and resignation as minister of senior adults at First Baptist Church, Stuart, Florida, effective June the 11th, 2023. Almost 35 years ago, I accepted the call to come as minister of music and senior adult. My family and I moved here in August of 1988 to begin ministering here. It's been almost a lifetime of making wonderful memories and serving our Lord Jesus Christ right here. Nancy and I dedicated our lives to the Lord in His service 57 years ago. And during that time, we ministered in churches in Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida, and can testify of God's great faithfulness. I deeply appreciate Pastor Orman's support and love for me and my family.
God bless you.
Dear friend, through these 31 years of ministry with him, we have had some amazing moments in sharing the gospel on the Treasure Coast and far beyond. As we prayerfully seek God's will for our lives and our future, Nancy and I will never forget this sweet fellowship. Pastor, Kim, the staff, the deacons, and so many faithful volunteers that have served and walked with us these, well, almost 35 years. Keep preaching and sharing the good news of God's kingdom till we meet Jesus face to face. And whatever the future brings, remember that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Praying God's blessings on you all in his service, Nick and Nancy Bennett. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Nick, y'all are going to continue to serve in our music ministry, correct?
Well, we'll be here. I don't know if I can get up the steps anymore.
Okay, all right.
Bless you, brother.
You'll sing from the floor.
We'll be seeing you. We have relationships that are wonderful, and I hope we carry them with us till we pass on to glory, brother.
And also, you said you're still coming for lunch on Thursdays and visitation.
I'm going to come visit with you when I'm able to.
Yes, when you're sir. Able to. Okay, yeah. Very good. All right. You sit back down here and let everybody come by and express some love to you. We're going to have a luncheon in their honor. We'll let you know more about that and some other things to honor Nick and Nancy. And they're just an absolute joy. And they have been for me for 31 years. And I think at times I would think I might not even be here now if there weren't a Nick Bennett. And I love you. And I'm proud of you. And let's pray that God gives him back all his mobility. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Y'all pray that with me. Amen. Okay. Well, love you. Nick, why don't you dismiss us in prayer?
Father, we thank you.
Oh, wait. Josh. Josh, come up here. Josh, come up here. Y'all come by and express love to Josh. Josh, thanks for getting baptized, obeying the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are you nervous?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You don't need to be. Okay. Y'all come by, express your love to Nick and Nancy and to Josh.
Okay. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the word of God. Pastor shared with us today and challenged us, Father God, to be about the master's business, and that's winning souls to Jesus. Father God, I thank you for Josh today, his coming forth to be baptized following Jesus' example. And Father, we thank you and praise you for this sweet fellowship, Lord God. Help us to be faithful, and thank you for each and every day you give us, Father, to live for you and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And we look forward to your coming again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is Dr. Darrell Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education. Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options, and then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, "Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message, and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you, and thank God for you.